जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मेतयोषित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. So we have completed the 14th and 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So we were thinking, what should we do? We have already decided that we will do, there is a beautiful Advaitic hymn called Pratah Smarana Stotram. So why not, though this is not Pratah Kala has its own meaning. Usually Pratah means early morning, dawn. In India, it is the tradition to do either Suprabhatam or this Remembering God. There are literally hundreds of Pratasmarana Sutrams, Stotrams. Pratasmarami Lalita Vadhanaravindam, Lalita Devi. Every god or goddess Pratasmarami. Advaitins also have this, Pratasmarana Stotram. Prataha means early morning, Smarana means remembering, Stotra means a hymn. So what is this Pratasmarana? Taking the most literal meaning, when is our mind so fresh? Usually after a good night's sleep, when we get up, then that is the time to remember God, because there are not too many intruding thoughts. But there is also a peculiar phenomena. If we have any night, good sleep, just before we come fully awake, for a few, maybe seconds or milliseconds, I don't know, we are aware of ourselves without kara. I am. But I am so and so. And then the whole lot will come. This is my house, I am in a hotel. This is this, I have come for this purpose. I have these things to do, etc., etc. Many other thoughts intrude. But there is a small slot of that time, and this you can usually experience when you have slept in a different place. Where am I? Yeah. That before that idea comes, where am I? What is experienced? That is Pratahkala. That is Pratahkala. And before any other thought comes, we should develop the thought of God. That is the most wonderful thing we can do. Because what we do, the first thing before we are fully awake, that usually guides. Like you set your GPS. I want to go here. Then from there it starts. You go few yards and then turn left, turn right, etc., etc. This GPS, as I said, is a very interesting analogy. It knows only two things, turn left, turn right. So vidhi and nishedha. Do this and do not do that. So our scriptures also give this direction. If it is a devotee, then you see, think of God in with form, with qualities. And every devotee, whatever personal God he may be worshipping, will have both qualities which are indicated in the very beginning of Swami Vivekananda's Avatara Stotra. Khandana Bhava Bandhana. It's a most wonderful hymn if we explore the meaning. So why do you want to hymn God? Why do you want to remember Him? Why do you want to do japa of God? Why do you want to meditate upon Him? What does God represent to you?
Divine qualities. To imbibe the divine.
Khandana Bandhana. Breaking the bondage. If even for a worldly person, when you ask him, what do you want? He will say, usually he will say, I want money, I want a wife. Have you heard anywhere? Any devotee openly asking, I want a wife? I want a husband? Bhagavatam, all the gopis, they worshipped Katyayani. For what purpose? For getting Sri Krishna. What did Rukmini pray to the Divine Mother? I only want Krishna. And in the Chandi, that is Rupam Dehi Jayan Dehi Esho Dehi Dvisho Jehi. Give me beauty. Rupam means beauty. Jayan Dehi. Grant me success in everything. Esho Dehi. Give me
success.
Fame. I have to be famous in some field. Dvisho Jehi. Let all my enemies go to the other place. Dvisho Jehi. Yes, devotee cannot do that. So it is only the Divine Mother who could do that. That's what she did for the devotees, for the devas. Everything is done by Smarana. Interestingly, that Chandi, what is the secret of the devotion in Chandi? Everywhere there is a devotion, there is a secret is there. In Bhagavatam, Prahlada, Navada Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishno, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Vandiyam, Sakhyam, Atma, Nivedanam. 9. Hold. What is this special secret? This is very, very relevant to us. What is the secret? The Divine Mother gives a boon to the devas that whenever you remember me, you have a mother and I will be present there, I will come. That is what Holy Mother used to say. You would never forget you have a mother. Whenever anything you want, you just remember and I will come. I will come means he is there only all the time. So that is called Smarana Bhakti. The secret we get from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is Vyakulata Yoga. You must have intense yearning, desire. So in this Chandi, this particular prayer is there. I want this, I want this, I want that. Vedas are also there. Vedas also. There, I want this, I want a cow, I want a wife, I want plenty of that is there. Plenty. So many pages, page after page, I want this, I want this, I want this. Very little of I don't want this. In that Bharya Manoramam Dehi. Manovrittanu Sarini. It's wonderful, this thing. Bharya Manorama means very, very attractive to me. Not, it should not be attractive to others. Only to me. Manoramam Dehi. Manovritta Anusarini. She should obey me all the time. Whatever I desire, she should do it. Manovritta Anusarini. So one of our funny Swamis, I went to Manovritta Anusari means one who does what she likes. Manovritti Anusarini. He didn't say you are anybody.
Yeah,
so what is the point? We have to set our goals. What is it that we want? And that sets the whole day's function. This is, you know, in efficiency. How do you become an efficient manager? So you clearly point out, these are the goals, set out these goals. I want to achieve today these goals, and then only it is possible. What does a spiritual person want? He wants to develop spiritual qualities. So what is spirituality? What is worldliness? What is spirituality? There is a word, a special word for it in Sanskrit. You know, you use two words. If a person is worldly, what is the equivalent Sanskrit word?
Samsari.
Samsari means one who goes on roaming. Samsara means that which changes. Sarati, from the word sru. Sru means to flow. That way Sarita comes from the word sru. So that which never stays in one place, goes on moving. Samsara means that which goes on, jagat, that which goes on, gati. Gati, samsara. So samsari means one that which is changing always. What is it that changes always? Body and
mind.
The world never changes. It is the body and mind which changes. Again, this is there is a lot of Advaitic philosophy involved here. So, Zen philosophy puts it forward. So, there is a wheel which is moving constantly. So, the Zen master asks the disciple, what is moving? There are so many disciples. All the Guru points out, do you see that? Yes, yes, I see that. What is it doing? It is moving. Everybody gives that answer. And the Zen master gives one blow and said, get out. Then ultimately, one bright disciple comes. And what is happening? He says, my mind is moving. The wheel is not moving. My mind is moving. Is it a fact? It is a fact. Because if our mind doesn't move, then nothing moves. If my mind doesn't move, nothing moves. Again, the what is called motion picture machine, projector, is an example. So supposing you are watching a movie, it's all nice. So let us say a formula car race. Suddenly the projector comes to a standstill. What happens to the picture on the screen?
It stands
absolutely still. Is it not? So what is it making to move? It is this projector. If the projector doesn't move, it is actually, there is nothing called movement. Movement is only, as you know very well, 24 frames per second if they are moved consecutively. Then the illusion of movement is produced. And that is a fact. It is not in our imagination. Because you know, even when you are moving, if you slice the time, if you can freeze the time, there would be no movement at all. That's what happens in deep sleep. You don't see anything because the projector has come to both accepting light, there is nothing else. The screen is there, the light is there. The machine is not moving. That is called deep sleep. So, this is the truth. If our mind can come under control, the world itself has no movement. What is the point we are discussing here? Samsara means that which is experienced as a movement, change in time and in space. That is why Swamiji says, what is mind? What is the constituent of the mind? Time, space and causation. If you burn these three, such an object called mind doesn't exist at all. There is no mind. This is the truth. That is why in deep sleep what happens? Desha, Kala, Nimitta. Time, space and causation, they are not there at all. Therefore, the only thing that happens is I am. Now, each one of us go through three states, as you know, waking, dream and dreamless. Now I am connecting this with what we discussed before. A person who is experiencing the waking state, what is he called? Waker. A person who is experiencing the dream, what is called? Dreamer. A person who is experiencing the sleep. Sleeper. Waker, dreamer, and sleeper. Now, we say, you know, you are all sitting here. We are all sitting here. So we are all wakers. Now, waker and waking world are inseparable. You cannot say, I am a waker when there is no Jagradavastha. You can't say there is a dream world. When we say dream, we have to use that word world. When we say dream, I had a dream, that's an incomplete world. I was in a dream world. Because we experience so many things. There also movement is there. If there was to be no movement, will you experience a dream? Not possible.
No, never.
Yeah, experience, you know, if we are all sitting like statues, there would be no Jagat, there will be no waking world at all. That is the point. What is the point? That the dreamer is the dream world. The waker is the waking world. And the sleeper is the sleeping world. Now, in our ignorance, what we say, I am the waker and there is a separate world from me. Even if I am not here, the world is going on. That is not possible. Only when you are aware, then the waking world also wakes up. When you wake up, the waking world wakes up. When you dream, the dream world wakes up. When you sleep, the sleep world wakes up. You understand? When you sleep, the sleep world doesn't sleep. The sleep world wakes up. Otherwise, wakes up means it comes into life. Otherwise, there is nothing. So this is an important point for us to understand. The separation between the experiencer and the experience. You say, I am experiencer or I am experiencing. When you are experiencing something, can you separate the experience from the experiencer? This is Vedantic language. There is a special word used. It is called Triputi. Triputi means knower, knowledge, and the object which we in the known. Doer, action and an object. You know, subject, object and an action. This is called Triputi. So, subject and object is there. And you are. How do you get connected? There must be something which connects. So, if one of the elements is lacking, the whole thing falls down. this is an important point for us to remember. That means the whole waking world is nothing other than the waker. The whole dream world is none other than a dreamer. And the whole sleep world is nothing but the sleeper. Now, we are in a position to explore this Pratha Smarana Stotram. There are many stotras, but this is an Advaitic stotram and is supposed to have been composed by Adi Shankaracharya. Adi means original, because every Pithadipati, the head of a mutt, is also called Shankaracharya. So many works are there, claimed to be written by Shankaracharya. But it is not true that the Adi Shankaracharya has written all these things. The language differs, the content also differs, the style differs, everything differs. Adi Shankaracharya's, his writings are super. If you want to learn Sanskrit, you can start with Shankaracharya. You may not understand the meaning, but the words, and he has a way with words. His style of writing is a model, like Swamiji's, you know, how simple it is, how deep, but how simple. Sri Ramakrishna's words are even better, very clipped, very short. That is a unique feature of Thakur's teachings. Nowhere he uses a very long sentence like Aurobindo. By the time you come to the end of the sentence, you have to go back to find out what is it all about. Thakur's no place for ambiguity. Swami Vivekananda also no place. So he has written this Pratasmarami Stotram. It has three verses, and each one of them is a wonderful gem. The whole Advaita philosophy and experience has been what is called condensed. Nothing is left for vagueness. And I thought that this is a good thing for all of us to do. There is also bhakti there. Everything is there, three verses. So what is it that first of all, Prataha, Smarana, Stotra. There are different types of stotras. Usually, you know what is a stotra? It is a hymn to a god or goddess. Not only to a god or goddess, but it is also a hymn outlining a philosophy, it could be. Or it could be a stotram. Usually you understand stotra means praise. You praise somebody. No, there are some stotras which are not in praise of anybody. It is just to say you do this, you do this, you do this. Yeah. So just a kind of sermon, kind of teaching. This is what you have got to do. Most of the stotras are there only to praise, oh Lord, you are like this, you are like this. Some stotras are a combination of praising the divine and at the same time suggesting to the praiser that you should mould your character, behave like this. Usually they go together. Majority of the stotras, they are devoted to praising the Lord, like praising the king. And so many qualities are there. So why this quality? Because I need that help. So supposing you say, Madhava is an example. What is the meaning of Madhava?
Sweet one. Sweet one?
No. Dhava means husband, master, etc. Madhava. Ma means Ma, Mother, the Divine Mother. he who is the husband, Lakshmi, usually she is known as Lakshmi. So he is a Madhava. So if, why is that particular? This is for Lord Narayana. The idea is you are the husband of Lakshmi. So if you are husband of Lakshmi, one thing is you are master of the Lakshmi. Therefore, this Lakshmi is not bestowing any grace upon me. So, oh Lord, you command your Lakshmi and say, you give your devotee something like that. Yeah. Yesterday, Maharaj was giving the lecture. So, I just kept quiet. He says, if you have a book, then two factors are evident. What factors? One is the book is separate and you are separate. Do you remember?
I have
it. Vaguely, somewhere I heard. Second point he made, you are the master. I thought, my God, this is wife. I am separate from the wife. That is fine. Am I the master of the wife? Am I the master of the... I am the master of my wife. With her kind permission. We have to add that one. You see, it is true. If there is an object, we are separate. That doesn't indicate that we are the masters. We may own certain things, but that doesn't mean that we can do whatever we like with it. No. Suppose you own nice meal, you go to a hotel, you order nice food, and that food is literally yours. But who commands? The food commands or do you command? If you are asked, that is what you say. Yeah. The food commands. Suppose there are 5-6 items. One item is very tasty item. What does it say? Come on, you fellow, eat me. This is what is happening. We are slaves to these things. We are only claiming I am the master of my wife. I am master of my house with the kind permission of my wife. It is like that. It is an illusion. What is real mastery? Like Sri Ramakrishna. Like Sri Ramakrishna. You know, Sri Ramakrishna used to get angry sometimes. Then one devotee raised this question, that he was supposed to be a great saint, and if he also gets angry, then what is the difference between him and me? He asked me. And I said, yes, he can get angry. There is nothing wrong in it. But there is a difference. He is the master of anger.
Yes.
Means when he wants to get angry, he will get angry. When he says enough, the whole thing disappears from his mind. He says, I want to go into samadhi. Immediately he goes into samadhi. When you get angry, you lie down on bed and say, I want to go to sleep. Right. You will not be able to do that because you are not the master of any of these emotions. So, there are certain objects of which we can own them. That doesn't indicate we are the masters. For example, whose mind is that? You say, my mind. When we say our mind, it is clear, mind is different from me. But you say, I am the master of my mind. Who dares to say that? I am the master of my body. Who dares to say that? It is not, it is, that application doesn't tell. Yes, I am separate from the body, I am separate from the mind, that is absolute truth. But not, doesn't indicate mastery. So, a stotra, different types of stotrams, as I mentioned, are there. So, some stotrams are vandana, salutations to the Guru Stotram, for example. Some stotrams are meant for a particular purpose. to indicate what is called a purpose. For example, in the Guru Stotra, Ajnana Timirandhasya, you get the destruction of the ignorance. In the Avatara Stotra of Sri Ramakrishna, what is the purpose? That is where we have come. What is the purpose? Khandana Bhava Bandhana. Don't go for anything else. Oh, I want money. That is not the sutra. Then you go Kanakadhara Stava. Or you go for Sri Sukta. Sri Sukta. There is a Sukta called Sri Sukta, Narayana, Vichyat Narayana Sukta, Vishnu Sukta, Ratri Sukta, Pavamana Sukta, and so many Suktas are there. Vedic hymns are called Sukta. Sri Sukta means that is a hymn especially composed in praise of Lakshmi. So anyone who wants wealth, if he regularly chants it, then he will get it. Hanuman Chalisa is one example. So, anybody who reads Hanuman Chalisa 40 times, then he is, Lord Hanuman will fulfill his desire. Yeah, if anybody has got devotion, it will happen. He says, if it doesn't happen, then Tulasidasa is a liar.
Right.
Tulasidasa composed that one, he says. So, to indicate a particular purpose. Just I want to express my gratefulness to God. That is also stotra. I want to develop particular quality. That is also part of the stotra. I want to express my joy. That is also stotra. Some stotras are meant as hints for our sadhana. And this stotram composed by Adi Shankaracharya, this is meant for as a aid, main sadhana. And it's such a marvelous stotra. We will explore it. Prata smarami hridi samspurat atmatattvam sachit sukham paramahamsa gatim turiyam yat svapna jagara vaiti nityam tad brahma nishkalamaham nacha bhuta sanghaha. This is the first verse in our Vedanta center. Practically, this is one of the stotras that is sung. So, pratah kala, he said, what is pratah kala? Means at a time when we wake up. You can take it psychologically, when we wake up from the night of ignorance, that is real pratah kala. Yeah. You know that janaki saki saki. How long have you slept? Abhu prabhata prakata. Now the dawn has come. Like that it goes. So this is the prabhata samaye. And we also say good morning. Why do we say? We want to see suprabhata. Suprabhata is always, why is it called suprabhata? Su? Prabhata. Prabhata means early morning. Prabhata kali. It means waking up time. What were you doing before that? You are sleeping. You wake up. Okay, you woke up. What to do? Swami Vivekananda. Uttishthata. You wake up. Then what is the next one? Jagrata. Jagrata means what?
Awake.
Yes. Jagrata means be self-conscious. Don't you see? Suppose you are driving a car or you are walking a slippery path. Be careful. Jagrat, be cautious. There is a power line. There is a, in the houses there will be some room, small room. I am reminded, you know, this Holy Mother, any huge factory you go, and acres of land it is occupying, but all that power that is supplied there will be in a small room, like Nabath. Yeah, that is the from where the whole power is going. He's so happy. All this time, what is topic of Swami talking all that? The moment I said woman, great woman, she woke up. Yeah. It is true. Shakti. Without Shakti, even Sri Ramakrishna could not have functioned. It is the Shakti. Whom did he worship? It is the Shakti, Mother Kali. And whom did he worship later on?
Holy Mother.
Holy Mother. Mother Kali. This, he only worshipped. Whom did Swami Vivekananda worship? It's only Mother Kali. He said, Mother Kali, and she sat on my shoulders, and then she doesn't allow me to do anything that I wish to. Only what she wishes should be done. Yeah. She is the Shakti. We are all controlled. It is not male or female. The Shakti. That is why all the three Murtis, they have wives. What are the wives? For ordinary people, this is husband, this is wife. But you know, you have to explore that topic. Brahma. Who is Brahma's partner?
Saraswati.
Who is Brahma? Embodiment of knowledge. Expression of knowledge is Brahma.
Giver of knowledge is
Saraswati. But the knowledge itself is the Shakti. Vishnu is the expression. Mother Lakshmi doesn't mean only what is called wealth. Lakshmi means the proliferance of activities in innumerable infinite ways. Somebody is a scientist, somebody is a poet, somebody is a musician, somebody is a speaker, somebody is a farmer, somebody is whatever. That expression needs is it's a tremendous amount of resources. Resources. Knowledge is all. Suppose somebody invents something, but there is no resource. What is he going to do? So creative act comes from, intuitive act comes from Saraswati. But its execution comes from Lord Vishnu. That is why it's called Sthitikarta. Sthitikarta. And every time, you see, this world is called samsara. Samsara means it is constantly moving, changing. Therefore, even an idea can be infinitely improved. This is how, you know, 100 years back, how were the gadgets and other things? Now, how are the gadgets, you know, faster car, better car, air-conditioned car, aeroplane, whatever it is. So creative idea somebody has given. Okay, you start from there, but go on improving it. And that improvement requires resources. And that resource is symbolized by Lord Vishnu. But the power of that resource is Mother Lakshmi. The expression of that resource is Lord Vishnu. What about Shiva? He is supposed to be Layakari. Layakari means what is destruction. No, in time what happens, an old idea gets improved. That is what is called destruction. Your old model is no longer available. A new model is available. This is the function of Lord Shiva. See how coordinatedly it comes. So this is the Shakti, Prataha Kala, that is Holy Mother, that is the Divine Power. This whole universe is run by whom? By Shakti. That is why Sri Ramakrishna divides. The one side is Brahman, when there is no activity. Another side is Shakti. Everything is Shakti. It is not male. is not female. Knowledge doesn't have male-female division. You can't say this is a female knowledge and this is male knowledge. Knowledge is Shakti. Kriya is also Shakti. Ichha is also Shakti. That is why in the Tantras I have explored this beautiful view. Divine Mother consists of three manifestations. Jnana Shakti, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Wonderful Tantras. We are not going into that subject. So this particular stotram is specially meant for a sadhaka, then he is supposed to set an agenda. And when does this creative, what is pratahkala means? Creative time. Pratahkala means you wake, you are sleeping for a long time, you woke up. Having woken up, you know, we are living unconscious life all the time. But if you analyze, each one of us, when we wake up, we have an agenda. I have to go to this office. I have to do this. I have to do this. Is it not? We already have that agenda. That is called the seed. And we, the whole day, in course of time, we express that idea, manifestation comes. Srishti, sthiti, laya, going on constantly. That is why you can even take time, daytime, night time, 24 hours. Pratahkala is the idea of creative time. Whole day is the idea of sthiti. Sthiti. And the whole night is laya. Laya means what? You are constantly trying to improve. The next day morning, I have to do in a better way. That is the meaning of pratahkala. How long have I slept, O Lord? Now I am awake. Arise, awake. Awake means that be alert. What do you want to do? You have got something to do. So pratahkala. What do you do? You remember. These are reminders, you say reminders. These are the things I have to do. Prataha smarami. I remember. I have to remember. What do I need to remember? Hridi samspurat atma tattvam. Hridi. In our hearts, what is the difference between heart and mind? It is very interesting thing. Mind and heart, these are two separate issues in the part of the mind, you know. So, manaha, chittaha, buddhihi, ahankara. Mana, in that order. Mana, mano, buddhi, ahankara, chittani. For the sake of grammar, they have put it that way. But their usual sequence is, first comes manaha, then comes chitta, then comes buddhi, and imango. No, it is not that ahankara is there within these three all the time. Is that point clear? Just I will give an illustration. How is it? You know, you are walking early morning, it is not completely light, and you see something. Somebody is coming, something is moving. So, what do you say? What is that? What is that? What could it be? That is, no. That is the function of the mind. What is it? What is it? Is it this? Is it that? That thinking is called, that is the function of the manana shakti. Then, as the conditions become clearer, then you are able to see or hear or something, then our memory, otherwise you will never know. You have already stored in your memory, oh, this is a person whom I know. Say, to put it more beautifully, you are coming, oh, it is not an animal, it is not a plant, it is a human being. Is it male? Is it female? No, from the dress, yes, yes, it is a male. And then, do I know this person or a stranger? Then, when you see the face, yes, yes, I remember. All this takes time.
Yeah.
Like your, when you go, enter into America, they say, put your finger there, on the camera. And you think, you put, what is happening? There is a mirror light, you put your finger there. And looking at that fellow, what is that fellow doing? Inside, he is looking at his computer. Millions of thumb impressions are going through. He doesn't get to. This fellow was caught smuggling cocaine in 1967. That picture doesn't come. Okay, you are fine. Yeah, yeah, she will do all. All these things are happening. Within a fraction of a second, seconds, all these things happen. Same thing happens in our chitta. It stores billions and billions of, you know, faces, names, voices, forms, colors, smells, tastes, touches. Everything is... So whenever an experience comes, immediately, you know, some smell is coming, something is fried, being fried. Immediately, your, how does water come to your mouth? Yeah. Every day this is happening, every minute it is happening. Not that it happens once in a day and that memory goes holding. Every time we experience something, that happens. That is the function of the chitta. But it has to be certified that there is no doubt about it. It is absolutely, it is that. That certifying power or function is called buddhi, nischayatmika buddhi. And then ahankara is there. I want to know what is this, is it this, is it that. And I remember it is like this. Yes, I know it is this. This process goes throughout our life. Now, that is where it comes. You have to remember. What do you need to remember? It's the most interesting thing. Prata smarami. What do I need to remember? I am rushing to the office. I am rushing to the office. For what purpose? To do some work. I am an employee. Something like that. But for whose purpose? You see, we forget that. For whose purpose? For only one person. Who is that?
God.
Not God.
Yes.
My God.
You do it for yourself?
For myself.
Yeah.
For myself. But what is my idea of myself? I am the body, I am the mind. No. Rata smarami sridhi samspurat. Constantly it is vibrating. It is manifesting. Constantly. What is that that is manifesting? Atmatattvam. The divine, I am, that is called Atmatattvam. What is Atmatattva? This is a wonderful subject in itself. The Vedanta uses the word Atma infinite number of times. But what do you mean by Atma? How do you define what is the Atman? There is no English, proper English translation. You can say soul, you can say self, but the best word is Atman. You know what is Atman? How do you define? I am not asking. You know, you are a realizer of the Atman. I know that. Otherwise, you would not have come attended my class. Yeah. How do we define Atman? You are reading Vedantic books. You are using, hearing that word, reading that word Atman again and again and again. You have to have clear understanding. How do we know what is this Atman business? What does Vedanta scripture mean by the word Atman? There is a simple way. Do you know what is that?
Satchitananda?
No.
Consciousness?
After saying I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, what remains is called Atma. So, simplest word, you know, I am not the carpet, I am not the house, there is no end to this. But if I say I am not the body, whatever experiences I gather through the instrument, you know, you look out, I am not that tree, I am not this tree, lot of times, you close the window, finished. You don't need to do it because you are not seeing it. So if we close this body, five windows of the body, then the body idea doesn't exist. The pancha prana is only pancha prana, we call it, the five sense organs. Once you close it, the body has no function at all. Do you understand that? If the five sense organs, do you feel hungry? If the five sense organs are closed,
no.
You will not have any idea. So body, what is the next thing?
Mind.
If you close, if you say, I am not the body, if you say, I am not the mind, then what remains to be negated? There is only one, that is I. I am negating body. I am negating the mind. What remains? I negate myself. 1 minus 1. What remains? Can you negate yourself? Even to negate, you know, you say, I negated myself. What remains? I myself remain. A billion times you do, you will only remain. And what remains after negating the whole lot means body and mind. That is called Atman. That is called Atman. This is the definition. So, Prata Smarami Hridi Samspurat Atma Tattvam. That Tattva means, this is a wonderful word again. Because I have got to pass my time, you have got to pass your time. That is a stretching every word. But it's interesting, you know. Tattva means what? It's the most beautiful word. Tattva means the reality. What does it mean? It consists of two words, Tat and Tvam. Tat and Tvam. Tvam means you. Tat means what?
That.
What is the word, what is this particular word called that? You know, it is called Sarvanama. Tat, you know, the word, English word pronoun. Noun means one particular object. Pronoun means it is a substitute for any noun. So that is a pronoun. The word that is a pronoun. Oh, that. Including this, because for you, this is that. For me, everything else is that. That means that is everything. So, that which comprises everything, that is called reality. And you are everything. And if you are everything, that is called Brahman. The word, very word Brahman, as you know, that which is the biggest. What are the, how big? No. That bigger means not measurement. That bigger than that, doesn't exist. Nothing exists bigger. That means it is everything. If that is infinity. If that is infinity, what is not included in the infinity? What is excluded from the infinity? So that tattvam, that is why Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter end, Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanaha Trividaha Smritaha. There are three names given for Brahman. Om Tat and Sat. That is a beautiful chapter, 17th chapter. If I am asked which is the most practical chapter in Bhagavad Gita, it is the 17th chapter. Sraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. He says, you know, what type of food you will eat, what type of worship you want to do, what type of dana, philanthropy you want to do, what type of tapasya or austerity you want to do, four subjects. And whole man's life consists of only these four usually. Anyway, Om Tat Sat. So Tat is one of the names of Brahman. Tatvam means you, Tvam, Tat. What do we say? That I am only this. The Guru, what does the Guru comes and, he comes and says, he says, you are everything. What is not you? You are everything. Tat, Tvam, Tat. Asi is not added here. That's why that Tatvam means everything, reality. So that Tatvam, Hridi Samspurat Tatvam. What Tatvam is that? Atma Tatvam. I am that. How does it work? Behind everything, you know, it is, what are you doing? I am seeing. I am sitting. I am eating. You describe anything you are doing, including not doing anything. I am not doing anything. Yeah. You can even say, I am not existing. Even to say that, you have to be there. So that I am is constantly vibrating. With that 1 millisecond, it is absent. It cannot be absent. And what does it say further? When you say, I am so and so, then you say, I am existing a little bit. I am knowing a little bit. I am enjoying a little bit. Enjoyment is not the word. Ananda is to be taken in the sense of experience. I am experiencing. So I am experiencing a little bit. But what does this say? Sat Chit Sukham Hridi Samspurat Atma Tattvam. Sat Chit Sukham. Sat Chit Sukham. Not little bit Sat. Now it is another important thing that we have to understand. We use the word Sat and Asat. You know Asat. What is the opposite of Sat? Asat. What is the opposite of light? Darkness. What is the opposite of life? Death. But if you really analyze, what is the opposite of Sat means existence. What is the opposite of Sat?
Non-existence.
No. In the Vedantic terminology, unreality doesn't exist. So how can it be opposite? Light and darkness both exist or not? Ignorance and knowledge both exist or not? So how can their unreality exist? Unreality doesn't exist. If it exists, it must be. How do you know something exists? No. How do you know something exists?
It should be experienced.
And did anybody experience unreality? If you say, did you experience unreality? Yes. I experience unreality. He is experiencing, he is there. I do not exist. Yes, I do not exist. Do you exist? No, I do not exist. Are you alive? No, I am not alive. I am dead. When a person says, I am dead, what does it mean?
He's a madcap.
He doesn't know what he is talking about. Yeah. Are you asleep? Yes. You see, here what does it mean? Experiencing not 100% Sat is called Asat. Manifesting not 100% knowledge is called Ajnana. And not experiencing 100% bliss is called ananda, dukkha, sukha. Dukkha is only experiencing less happiness. It is interesting, you know. Dukkha. Dukkha ho gaya. What is it? A fellow, a poor fellow is earning 1,000 rupees a month. Suddenly he is promoted, and it's because of he made some, met some MLA and did something like that. The MLA's wife, not MLA. So, and then he got promoted. 10,000 rupees he is earning. Is he happy? Is he happy or not? Getting 10,000 rupees? Happier than before?
Yes.
Then MLA comes to know about him. And then somebody did something better to MLA's wife. So she promotes somebody and in his place and demotes him. He is getting now 9,000 rupees only. What would be state of mind? Happiness or unhappiness?
Unhappiness.
See, from 1,000 rupees, he got to 10,000 rupees. From 10,000, he came down to
9,000 rupees.
And he is feeling unhappy. What is my point? My point is, happiness or unhappiness, they are relative. Very relative. He should have been, you see, if you calculate mathematically, he was earning 1,000. Now, how much happiness is happiness should be after getting promoted? 10 times. 1 into 10. If he is getting 9,000, how much happiness he should be having?
9 times.
But no, he is unhappy. This is our nature. But a person who only says, I am, how does the Atman manifest? In our, only saying, I am, I am, I am. That is what our practical experience. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. So what are you doing? I am in a waking state. So where are you now? I am in the dream state. Where are you now? I am in the sleeping state. When is he not there? When is not this? I am not absent. It is there all the time. Without that, no experience is possible. Not only that, look at it so funny in a way of speaking. Supposing a person doesn't know what is called sleeping state, will he know what is waking state?
No.
Our knowledge is only contrast, in contrast. If there is no night, will you know what is daytime? Yeah. Yesterday Maharaj was telling again. You know, in Ramakrishna Loka, it is all light only, daylight only. He said, my God. How do you know it is daylight? At least there must be 1 minute of darkness. You remember? He was telling me that? All daytime only. This ha-ha-ha-kara will not stop. You understand ha-ha-kara?
Oh.
If it is all daytime, the whole day this ha-ha-kara will go on. You see, what a wonderful thing. This I am is all the time. That is called Turiya. So it is not that you have to acquire something. It is already there. You don't need to acquire, but you need to subtract. Subtract whatever comes after I am, you subtract that. That is called spiritual sadhana. I am not the sleeper. You see, mano buddhi ahankara chittani naham. There also it comes. I am not Jagrat, I am not Swapna, I am not Sushupti, I am beyond. Shivoham, Shivoham. It is all comes there. So Hridi Samspurat, that word Samspurana. Samspurat means constantly it is manifesting. And why the samspurana is a beautiful word, it is vibrating. What is the idea of vibrating? Vibrating means you come to know intermittently, sporadically, not sporadically, intermittently, like your DC, like your, you know, current, AC or DC?
AC.
Sporadically. Negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive. So fast that you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what is happening. Your heart going on beating.
Mm.
Yeah. If it beats very fast, non-stop. So, this is constant. Why is it? Is not Atman absolutely steady? No, but it is interrupted by the Jagrada Avastha. It is interrupted by the dream state. It is also interrupted by the constantly this chakra is interrupting it. But that is why it appears to be sporadical or intermittent. But it is not intermittent. Intermittent means something interferes. Constant it is there. Like, you know, you see pictures. Do you see light constantly? Same light? You don't see it. Why? It's not that the light is absent. Something is obstructing it. Sat-chit sukham. Our sat is interrupted. Our chit is interrupted. Our ananda is also. What is that wonderful state? You see, he says such beautiful. Paramahamsa gatim. This is the state of a Paramahamsa. Gati means, the word gati means, two meanings it has. One meaning is, it is a goal to be reached. All the Paramahamsas aim for that goal. The other meaning is, that is the very natural expression of every Paramahamsa. See, Ramakrishna is a Paramahamsa. So, what is he doing? Sat-chit sukham, sat-chit sukham, sat-chidananda sagare bhasteche. Turiyanandaji says, and shala dhorechere, this fellow had found me out, you remember?
Yeah.
When was not Thakur swimming in that ocean of bliss?
Always.
He was always doing that, but we are unable to see that. Oh, he is suffering now. He says, nobody, he never suffers from that point of view. His suffering is only one, it's because of us. Yeah, he came for our sake. He suffered for our sake. Pranarpana jagatatarana krintana kalidor. Paramahamsa gatim. And then the next word is turiyam. What is turiya? That is what is the meaning, as though it is a fourth state. It is not a fourth state. It is a state because of which all the other three states are made possible. It is the very support of all these three states. You see, if I am not there, I am is absent, then there is no waking, there is no dream, and there is no deep sleep. So, that I am is the, you move. Suppose in your house there are three rooms, A, B, C. So, you in the A room something is there, B room, room B there is something, room C there is something. So, you move from room A to room B. Then room B is not room A, totally different. Room C is totally different from room B. Not only that, each room is different from both rooms. But what is constant there?
I am the one who is going at one
room. You are constant. You are in this room, you are in the room, there is no interruption at all. That is called turiyam. That is the turiyam. Paramahamsa, all the paramahamsa state in that state. That is why Turiyanandaji was asked once, the questioner didn't say that you are a realized soul, but he said, how do realized soul, do they sleep? Do they dream? So one devotee asked Ramana Maharshi, do Jivan Muktas like you dream? He said, have you seen me eating? He said, yes. So if I can eat, why can't I sleep? Why can't I dream? Now it's a profound meaning is there. So who is it that is eating? Is Bhagavan eating? It is the body which eats. So if the body can eat, it can also sleep. And who is it that dreams? The mind. If there is a body, there would be a mind. And if there is a mind, it will go through these constant three states. So Turiyanandaji said, yes, Jivan Mukta sleep, anybody, even Sri Ramakrishna has to sleep. When we say Sri Ramakrishna sleeps, we should not take him as the Atman is sleeping. Hridi Samskurat Atma Tattva. That doesn't go to sleep. But what is it that sleeps? The instrument through which it is manifesting. But he says, even when he is sleeping, his mind has been trained so much, it remains a witness throughout. Just as it remains witness to waking, it remains witness in dream also, and it remains witness to the
sleep.
In the deep sleep state also.
So Maharaj, in deep sleep, how we don't have a sense of time and space. For realized souls, because they are witness, would they have a sense of time and space? Like for example, if they wanted to get 15 minutes of deep sleep, can they get exactly 15 minutes of deep sleep?
See, before going into deep sleep, they have idea of 15 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. After waking up, this body, this mind had gone to sleep for 15 minutes. But during that time, deep sleep, even you are not having idea of time. Why should they have? But what it means is, you are not conscious of I am.
No.
You are inferring it after getting up. But they are constantly, as they say, I am Atman while eating. I am Atman while dreaming. I am also Atman in deep sleep. So they are constantly witnessing. That means what? This is what we are all discussing today. What is it? Hridi Samsparat. We do not identify with I am only. We add masala to that. The body and mind are the masalas. Whereas they have the capacity to separate their I am and then let the body be there. That's why they never say I am the body. They never feel I am the body. They never feel I am the mind. In fact, we also do that. I don't feel your body is my, I am your body. I don't feel I am your mind. You see, even we also have that experience. Only with regard to this particular body, mind, I am unable to get rid of it. But otherwise, for the entire world, I am a Jivan Mukta. This is the truth. That is why it is called individuality. I am identified only with this body and mind. So, Paramahamsa Gatim Turiyam Yat Swapna Jagara Sushuptam Avaiti Nityam. Constantly they know, this is a waking state. This is a dream state. This is what we are discussing. This is a deep sleep state. Svapna jagaram sushuptam avaiti nityam. The sequence is not waking, dream and deep sleep. It's because of chandas. The poetical meter. It has to fall into that meter, you know. Svapna jagara sushuptam. That is the krama. Svapna means dream. Jagara means Jagrada avastha, waking state, And Sushupti means deep sleep. Avaiti Nityam. There is no break when they merely say, I am in the waking state. That means they don't identify as constant witness. Oh, now the mind is in this state. Now the mind is in this state. Now the mind. They don't say my mind. They say mind. Yat svapna jagara susuptam avaiti nityam. Tad brahma. The what is that state? That is called brahma. Nishkalam, partless. Partless means infinite. What is partless? We divide our experience into three parts. Jagrat, svapna, susupti. Not only we, in each state again we divide things. How do we divide? You know, now I am looking at you. You are different, this carpet is different, everything. In dream also exactly the same thing. How do we divide in deep sleep? Because when I wake up, I don't say that you slept well. I only say, I slept well. Even if husband and wife are sleeping side by side, wife is sleeping, having her own sleep, the husband is having his own sleep. This division is there because of ignorance. But there is no ignorance because he never identifies himself with any state. He never says. It is like watching three rooms from a helicopter. He can watch all the three rooms from a helicopter. That is a good analogy because, so how can you watch all the three? Because you are separate. If you are stuck in one room, you can't see the other two rooms. But if you have to separate yourself and go up, then from there you can see simultaneously all the three states. Nacha bhuta sanghaha. I am not any of these bhuta sanghas. Bhuta means anything that is the outcome of panchabhutas. That means not only human beings, not only living, both the living and non-living both. It's all made up of. So panchabhutas are divided into three manifestations. What are they? Sat, Chit, Nananda. We discussed already. In Tamoguna, which aspect of God is manifest? Sat. In Rajoguna? Sat and as well as Chit. Sat and Chit cannot be separated. In Sattvaguna, even Rajoguna also, there is some amount of Ananda is there, but it is less. Whereas in Sattvaguna, Sat and Chit and Ananda are manifest more. But that also is a limitation like a lantern. And we are not talking merely higher amount of sattva. There are different mixtures are there. So, is bhuta sangha means conglomeration. Sangha means combination, conglomeration. Bhuta means here, panchabhutas. So, I am not the... That means anything that is made out of panchabhutas, I am none of that. But what are you? I am the very source from which all these panchabhutas have come. Who is that source? Brahma. So he says, Tad Brahma. Nishkalam, undivided, Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. And all these experiences we discussed, it is the Atman is telling, I am not the Panchabhutas, I do not experience Jagrat, Svapna and Sushupti, I am the Paramahamsa Gati, I am the Turiyam, and I know all these three states as a witness, but the most important is remember who you are. This is what is called self-knowledge. You are that. Tad Brahma. I am that Brahma. Nishkalamaham Najibhut. Pratasmarami Ridhi Samspurat Atma Tattvam சச்சித் சுகம் பரமஹம்சகதிம் துரியம் யத் ஸ்வப்ன ஜாகர சுஷுப்தம் அவைதி நித்யம் தத் பிரம்ம நிஷ்கலமஹம் நச்ச பூத சங்கஹ. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said this, the pratha sotram has to be remembered just after you wake up, before you become fully awake, right? So, and you're supposed to remember that I am.
Yeah.
So when you're remembering, that means you're conscious, right?
How, without consciousness, how can you remember?
Yeah, so that means, are you not already awake then?
You are awake, but before you identify yourself with other things, I am, you are awake. Then they say, I am a woman, I am a wife, I am an office worker. All these things get attached very soon. So before those things happen, even you can also do after all those things happen and say, no, no, they are all temporary things. Really, they are temporary things. How temporary things? That you are working in the office. Tomorrow you may not be working. Today somebody is married, tomorrow they may not be married. And today they are young, tomorrow they are not young. This change is taking place. So then who am I? And that we have to remember. And for whose sake I am doing all this? You know, when a person goes to an office for earning money, etc., for whose sake? Not for anybody's sake. For my own sake I am going, isn't it? Then who am I? I must have an idea who I am. So that is, we have to remember these words, I am Brahman. I am not merely the product of any of these. That's why. Even though when I go to sleep, even though when I am dreaming, they are all what is called passing shows. But really speaking, I am that pure Brahman. This is for sadhana. Yeah, it will take, if you realize, you don't need Pratasmana Stotram. Yeah, but before, you know, that's why I say, this knowledge comes, and it is called intuition. Until you get intuition, you will have to be in
tuition.
Yes, any number of times. You can have your own tuition there. You can record and go on reading. Record, not tape recorder, but here. These are all written for our good. Yeah. Peculiar things happen, you know. Venkateswara Suprabhatam. He says, already the sun has risen. The birds are singing. Your devotees have taken bath and already waiting. You fellow, when are you going to wake up? Yeah. So the god has to be reminded, Baba, don't sleep so long. But really, it is for of the Lord who is within and say, that yes, you have bathed. Whom did you bathe? The body. Yeah. And then you have to know who is the real self. All Pratasmana Stotras are Suprabhatams are for our waking up, not for God's waking up. As somebody asked, in puja time you ring the bell. Why do you ring the bell? And it is because for my waking up. I might go to sleep even while doing also. So if I ring the bell, then you know, like alarm clock, I'm supposed to not to go to sleep. Yeah. So this is the most wonderful stotram. We have to remember the essence of all, even worldly activities, is only for my own realization, self-realization. That is the truth.
Swamiji, you mentioned that, you know, when we close the windows, the five senses,
yeah,
we don't exist. So if a person is in coma,
yeah,
is he experiencing Brahman then?
Not necessarily.
All the sense of
you see, the question appears, the body is in coma. Can anybody say the mind is in coma? We don't know anything. We measure the mind only through the body. You know, when a person goes into deep sleep, the body appears to be completely unconscious. Can anybody know what is happening inside? That's not possible. So, that's why Vedanta is very clear. You are in deep sleep. So, are you there? Are you conscious? Yes, you are conscious. You are not unconscious. Your body is unconscious. But your mind is not unconscious. A part of the, small part of the mind is there to remember. Who remembers I slept? Does the Atman remember I slept? Do you get the point? Conventionally we say that in deep sleep that we are out of body and mind. Definitely out of body, but not out of the mind. There is a small bit of the mind, but it is so small, like, you know, when a bear goes into hibernation, it is not dead. But what happens? Its energy is just reduced to the minimum. The same way, the functions of the mind are reduced to the minimum. So much, so minimum, that it has the capacity to remember, I slept well. I did not know anything. I was very happy. It was very happy, that memory is there. That's why when we wake up, that memory wakes up. Oh, I was very happy. I did not know anything. Somebody has to remember, I did not know anything. Do you understand? When you forget something, what do you say? I forgot something. So somebody is remembering his forgetfulness. Yeah, there is a small part of the mind. Otherwise, a person is in samadhi. He should have an enlightened person. Again, through that same small mind, and he comes back and manifests. All the old samskaras are waiting outside. Like all the sins are waiting outside. And the branches of the Ganges. That is how it happens. So, what I am trying to tell you is, the scientists know very little, even the psychologists know very little, what is happening to the mind. They all try to measure it, you know. How do they measure? Through brain activity. But beyond the brain, what is happening? No instrument has been invented so far, and I don't think it is possible. So the mind is there. So unconsciousness doesn't belong to the mind. It only belongs to the body. That means the mind is not expressing itself specifically through the brain. That is what you call unconsciousness. But it doesn't mean it is samadhi state, because the old samskaras are there. Suppose by chance you wake him up. Simply he says, hey, where is my coffee? I told you long back to bring my coffee. Who gave this example?
It's Swamiji.
Thakur.
Not Thakur, yeah.
Thakur gives. A fellow, you know, he was doing some tricks. And then suddenly his tongue turned.
Yes.
Khechari mudra, they call it. So they say, if a person can turn the tongue inside and block his throat, he will enter into type of samadhi. He entered. And people thought he was dead, he was buried. After 6 months, somehow the tongue came out. Immediately he said, come delusion, come. Because the samskara is waiting outside. It is like, you know, you put reminder notes, yellow notes outside, and when you go to sleep, you are totally oblivious of it. But the moment you open your eyes and go there, there is written there. Yeah, one couple, husband and wife, had a terrible quarrel. Terrible quarrel. You're sleeping on the same bed, but not on speaking terms. So one day the husband had to go to the meeting early. So he was not an early riser. So he left a note to his wife. I have to attend the meeting at 6 o'clock. Wake me up at 5 o'clock. Because he was not speaking. So he went to sleep, woke up at 9 o'clock. He was furious. He was about to shout at his wife, then saw the note. He said, it is 5 o'clock. Wake up. Excellent. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.